You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We've been examining the scriptures as they relate to believing, and today we're going to go a little further, hoping to provoke thought, to stimulate the Spirit's direction, because everything in the realm of God is activated by faith and released by belief. The problem that we have is that there is such a close correlation between faith and belief that many of us say we have faith, and your faith is designed to help you believe. It is possible for you to be confronted by the paradox of having faith, but you still don't believe. This is identified in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, when the father with the epileptic son brings his son to the nine apostles who were there at the bottom of the mountain while Jesus was on the top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Had he not believed and had some degree of faith, he would not have taken his son to get care. But they let him down. So that touches his belief system. What happens is when he was confronted by the failure of the apostles, the old man, the old mindset, rose above the mind that was trying to believe. Hence, we have the statement, I believe, but help my unbelief. Our question, our search, our odyssey, if you will, our travel, our journey, is to discover what's causing the unbelief. Now, this is where we begin to have frustrating moments. And we start looking for answers where there aren't any. Some things are just normal occurrences that happen because you are growing in God, you are receiving more of the Word of God, and these things begin to clash with your surroundings. The more of the Word of God you take in, the more of the world doesn't make sense anymore. And then when you try to legitimize faith through a worldly mindset, it won't work. And that's when you begin to look for a whole bunch of other issues that may be what you consider the cause for you not walking in that level of spiritual maturity. There are some biblical references that speak to the lack of participation from the recipient of the blessing. But then there are times that God simply takes you down a path where he does not owe you an explanation. Now, believing becomes the middle ground. It becomes the one thing that is enhanced by faith, and also it is enhanced by doubt. Here's what that means. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, but there's nothing to tell us where believing comes from. So it appears that God is trying to get us to a realm, if you will, or a level of faith that would stimulate belief. Now, if you think in terms of believing along this path, let's say you are looking for a symptom on the internet. You are going through something and you go on the internet to find out more about it. Because you are exhibiting certain things that go along with the condition, and you begin to look at the symptoms, because an authoritative website has told you that these symptoms that you are listing means that you have this, you immediately believe, watch, that you have it, even though you don't have faith that you have it. Because faith comes by hearing. That means you have to be around people who talk it up so much, and what you see on the computer screen validates your faith, and you walk away and say, I got this. Now, you may not have it. You may simply have symptoms. It's what we call, in my other world, my first world is pastoring. No, my first world is carpentry, my second world is pastoring, and my third world is forensic psychology. So in my third world, we call that somatic conditions. Somatic conditions are those that really are not valid from a physical perspective, but you have thought yourself into it. It's what some call psychosomatic. It means that it really can't be proven medically, but for all intents and purposes, you are exhibiting all of the symptoms. So much so that you believe that you have it. Now, once you believe that you have it, you'll start looking for help. You'll start taking medication. And when doctors know that your condition can't be validated by tests, MRIs, CAT scans, x-rays, they give you a placebo. They give you a sugar pill and say, now look, only take one of these. Don't take more than one over a 48-hour period because it's too strong. And you'll start feeling better by the third day. And you'll come back and say, they'll say, how you feeling? You say, oh, I feel so much better. Then they know you're nuts. Then they'll start making little snide remarks like, have you ever had any therapy? Have you ever talked? And you're like, why? Well, I think you did. Why? Because they've discovered that your mind has made your body respond. Well, listen carefully. If your mind can make your body respond, then your mind can make your spirit respond. It appears that you are three part, right? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and they're all placed in a body. But no one has been able to properly identify, locate, and classify the spirit. Usually a person will say, I heard God speak here. It was in my spirit. Listen to me carefully. God gave you an apparatus to understand speech. Everything dealing with speech is in your brain. There are two areas of the brain that refer to speech. Now, if those areas are incapacitated, you won't be able to speak, no matter what you feel in your spirit or what you call your spirit. Your spirit ain't down here. When the Bible talks about spirit, we make it like some kind of spacey, spooky, you know, like a vapor will come out of you when you die. So we go around, what I got in my spirit. Now watch, here's what God did. Now we're going to teach this so you can grasp it because I need to see change in you. See, we have fallen out and rolled and tumbled and spit and slathered and did all of that, and still we can't walk in victory. And the first time a problem comes, we can't handle it. I can't keep raising babies. Listen now. God gave you a brain, and in the brain are the ingredients for the mind. It appears that the spirit and the mind work together. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You with me? All right, now listen carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Any reference to spirit? Why do we make such a big deal out of it? Deuteronomy has nothing to say about loving God in the spirit. I'll let that sink in. You're probably mad at me right now. Well, I was listening to so-and-so, and they told me, well, then what did Paul mean by walking in the spirit? Well, when you're Pentecostal, this is what we call walking in the spirit. Hallelujah. God is showing me that you got on purple socks. Spirit showed me. Now, when does the Holy Spirit become GQ magazine? We think walking in the Spirit is some spacey mindset where you do a whole lot of illegitimate things and you want to clothe it in God. The Spirit told me to buy this car. You can't afford it. So I guess the Spirit caused it to get repossessed. And it sounds funny, but I'm not trying to be facetious because I'm going somewhere. Now take that verse that we just looked at in Deuteronomy 6 and go with me over to Mark 12. Now listen carefully. Jesus is asked by a scribe in 12:28, and he asked him, which is the first commandment or the greatest commandment of all? Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He said, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Secondly, is to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you notice in Jesus' discourse and his teaching, he doesn't say spirit. We say, oh, I love God in the spirit. What does that mean? Is that justification for being indisciplined? Now, the Apostle Paul, when teaching the church at Galatia, he says that we should walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, I'm praising God. I'm in the Spirit. Yes, praise him. Yes. How are you today? God told me not to do this. God told me not to do that. So the spirit people become strange. But when you look at the scriptures teaching, anything having to do with the spirit has to do with the mind. Anything, when you just do contextual study, you will find that when he says love him with the mind, that must be spirit love. Because anything spirit has to make sense. Now, I know you're saying, well, it don't have to make sense because it's spirit. No, it does make sense because it's God. Now, what do we believe? Belief is a mind thing. It's not a spirit thing. It doesn't call for us to do a whole lot of silly things and then justify them by saying, I'm buying this in the spirit. I'm doing this in the spirit. I'm marrying this person because God told me so. I've never found those God-connected marriages to work out. Now, there's a simple reason for it. Because God doesn't operate in passion love. See, God will tell you, if God were to tell you to marry somebody, he'd tell you to marry somebody that you weren't looking for. When it was time for Hosea to get married, he didn't tell him to go down and pick out Halle Berry. He said, go get a prostitute. You sure you want God to pick your spouse for you? You sitting there looking for a Denzel and God will send you a buckwheat. Because God is not interested in the same things that you are. God will send you a Pee Wee Herman. You want somebody fine and you know, full of vim and vigor and money. God will send you somebody that you would not even pick if they were the last one. So let's get off of that, God told me. Amen. Let's get off of that, God told me to buy this and God told me to buy that. And I'm not saying there aren't exceptions, but it's not the rule. Why? Because he expects you to learn. He expects you to fill your mind with intelligent information so you can make the correct choice. Lord, help me. See, if God were picking your spouse, your wife for you, man, he would have never said, if you find one. So stop sitting around talking about I'm waiting on God to give me a wife. Get yourself together, get a job, and go find you one. Go find you one. See, we're sitting around waiting. I'm waiting for the Lord because the Lord got the Lord. People tell folk all the time, the Lord got your spouse. Then why is he keeping it? He don't need him. We blame everything on God. Just make the decision. You're going to look for permanence in your decision making, but it changes based on your age. When you cross the river 40, you're not looking for the same things you were at 20. You don't want somebody chasing you all around the house all night long, and you're like, listen, my feet hurt. I've been working all day. You're going to have to get yourself together, man. Now, when you're 18, you're different. Don't you think God takes that into consideration? The deterioration of the body. Listen to me. Because, see, we make statements about belief that are not rational. I believe God is going to give me that supervisor's job. And you have no supervisory skills. So God is supposed to put you over people to give them direction, and you don't have the skills. Because somewhere in your Pentecostal background, somebody has told you, just the Bible said, you'll have what you say. But what does that mean? And so here the scripture says, in John chapter 6, Jesus is having what I consider his best conversation with religious people. He has multiplied the fish and the loaves, and they want him to do it again, so they're hanging around. They're just following him. They're even telling their families, you don't have to eat. Just follow Jesus. He's going to make more. He's going to make more. It's like going to a funeral. You going to the funeral? Yeah, child, I didn't cook. You can break all that up real easy. Just stop having repasses. You see, the purpose of the repast was for the family, because they shouldn't have the responsibility to cook while they're in mourning. We turn it into a church catered picnic. We tell everybody, come join the family after the burial upstairs in the dining room. You didn't even come to the funeral. That's how we are. We just want what's free. Do you know? It doesn't cost you one dime. This is absolutely free to vacuum this church. Anybody want something free? Come in and clean the church. No, when you do that, you want to be paid. So maybe if they start paying for a repass, unless your family is $5. We'll get that down to about 50 people. And so we, like these Jews, follow Jesus for what we can get out of him. And Pentecostals are slick. We cover and clothe everything in the spirit. Oh, praise God. The Lord told me to sit up under you. Because I need to be covered. And we're going through this covering phase now. I need to be covered. People call me up, the Lord wants you to cover me. No, I'm not covering you. Jesus is your covering. Now, I can help you understand some principles, but I ain't covering you. I need to be up under. I need to bring my church up under you. Why? Jesus is our foundation. He's up under us, he's up over us, and he's up around us. My point is, just like these people in John 6, we hang on with expectations of selfishness. Narcissistic behavior is a clinical personality disorder. It usually means that in your youth, you were either so ignored, so wounded, so battered, so mistreated that when you became an adult, your world is all that matters, and you want everybody to feel what you feel. And so everything about you is you. You want people to see what you had for dinner, so you put it on Facebook.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, If You Can Just Believe, or the program number, 06219P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. invites you to three nights of discussions that will empower you to grow closer with the Lord and fulfill God's plan for your life. It's happening Wednesday, July 17th, Thursday, July 18th, and Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church. It is Bishop Lambert's heart for every believer to understand the principles of God, develop a renewed mind, and strive to achieve an abundant life in Christ. Plan now to be a part of these three nights of interactive discussions that will enlighten believers as we prepare to develop and move to the other side of growth in our life with Christ. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday, July 17th through Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly. Call 215-885-2585 for more information. Join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian M. Weatherspoon as they present another in-depth study of ministry training at the next Making of a Minister session on Saturday, July 27th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come prepared to delve into biblical exegesis and learn how to craft your sermon. These sessions are free, but you must register to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit www.betheldeliverance.org. Don't miss these empowering sessions that will equip you with the proper tools for preaching and teaching the Word of God. We look forward to seeing you at the next Making of a Minister session, Saturday, July 27th, at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Iron sharpens iron.
The Climbing Higher radio broadcast features dynamic teaching brought to you by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and the media ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Through this outreach, believers are empowered to walk in daily victory. Non-believers are enlightened to seek a relationship with the Lord. Families are strengthened through teachings that examine dynamics of their relationships. And overall, the Lord is being lifted up through the airwaves around the globe. We invite you to partner with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church as we seek to impact our culture with the unadulterated Word of God and the power of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God changes lives, and in these last days, we need to reach as many souls as possible with the message of truth. Jesus saves. He not only came to save our souls from eternal damnation, but He came to give us abundant life while here on this earth. You can help us reach the world with this message. Simply go to the BethelDeliverance.org media tab and scroll down to the Bethel Media Outreach Partnership link to safely give online with a one-time gift, or you can set up recurring payments for monthly donations. It's safe, quick, easy, and impactful. For more information or to speak with a representative, call 215-885-2585, extension 409. We thank you for standing with us as we continue to further the kingdom of God.